podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
As a church, we've been listening to the New Testament during this season of Lent. Many of you have taken advantage of those MP3 CDs and have had an opportunity to listen along or perhaps to read along to Scripture. And hopefully through this 40 days, you'll get all the way through the New Testament. And as we journey together through Scripture, reading together, these sermons are designed to help you reflect on some of the things that perhaps you heard in the past week, or they might just prepare you for something you're about to hear in the week to come. But the passages of Scripture I've chosen have two words in common. They contain the word, and they contain the word here. That's what they all have in common, the ones that I've chosen to preach from during this period. They contain the word, and they contain the word here. Thus the name of the series, Hearing the Word. Why is it important that we hear the Word of God, and what difference should hearing the Word of God make in our lives, and what does it mean to truly hear the Word of God? That's really what these sermons are about. So last Sunday we looked at the passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about foolish builders who build on a foundation of sand, and wise builders who build on a foundation of rock. And in the end, of course, the house that is built on the sand, when the storms and the winds come and the floods rise and life happens, that house falls and crashes. Whereas the house that is built in the foundation of stone continues to stand the test of time through the winds and through the storms and through the difficulties of life. And Jesus was teaching his disciples that those who really hear the Word of God and take the Word of God not only in through their ears and into their minds and into their hearts, but then actually process the Word of God to the point where they are obeying and doing God's words, where it changes their life, that they are like those whose house has been built firmly on the rock. But those who hear the Word and don't obey, but just allow it to get lost in their lives, are like those built on sand. When the storms of life come, they're threatened. You know, we should be clear that Jesus wants his followers to listen to the Word of God, but more than just that, as we've seen, to allow it to change your life rather than just listening and walking away unchanged. That's the point. And you and I are responsible, believe it or not, just think about this, you and I are responsible for all of the Bible studies and the sermons and the Sunday school lessons and the devotions and the Bible readings that we have ever heard. All of these have come into our life throughout our lifetime, and we're responsible for all of them. And is it enough that we just listen? Is it enough that we just hear it? I want you to watch this clip from the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men's Chest.
We all say it was divine providence what escaped us from jail.
And I'll say it was me being clever. Ain't that right, Poochie?
Well, how do you know it weren't divine providence what inspired you to be clever? Anyways, I ain't stealing no shit.
It ain't stealing. It's salvaging. Since when did you care?
Since we're not immortal no more. We got to take care of our immortal souls.
You know you can't read.
It's the Bible. You get credit for trying.
Pretending to read the Bible's a lie. That's a mark against... Look. There it is.
What's got into him?
Must have seen a catfish.
Scooby mongrel!
All right, so these fellows are not real sharp. not real sharp at all. But even they arrive at the truth, if you notice, that pretending to receive the Word of God is not good enough. It's not good enough to just pretend to receive the Word of God. I mean, if you saw that clip close enough, you'd see that the Bible he's holding is upside down, first of all. He doesn't know how to read, but he says, well, you get credit for trying, right? There's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just looking at the words. There's more to it than just plugging the iPod into your ears and having the words flow through your ears while you just go about life. There's more to the Word of God than just that. This past week, if you've been listening or reading, you heard the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 4, very familiar story from the Gospels. Mark 4, starting with verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parable. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Confession time. Mother's Day, 2008. Okay, think back to Mother's Day, 2008. Can you remember that day if you were here at Quaker Gap? We had this great idea, you know, this was going to be awesome. We're going, instead of giving you a flower, we're giving you the opportunity to grow your own flower. Do you remember that? And so, yeah, you do remember that. I remember that. What we did was we gave you a pot, we gave you some dirt, we gave you some seeds, and we sent you home with that and said, "Here you go, you know, some instructions, grow your own flower." What a fantastic idea, wasn't it? All right, how many of you ladies got that whole package? You received that package. Raise your hand if you got that. You walked out the door and you got the whole thing. All right. Some of you were here. Some of you don't remember that far. Okay. But some of you were here. How many of you brought the package home and planted the seeds? Raise your hand. Okay. There are a number. How many of you had the seed actually sprout up and grow into something? Raise your hand. Some of you. Wow. How many of you actually ended up having a flower on that thing? Oh, boy. So maybe not such a great idea after all, right? We should just give flowers from now on, you know? let me tell you my confession. I had leftover seeds and dirts and flower pots, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll just plant them all. This is going to be great. So I took probably about 20 to 25 pots of soil, and I put them down in the basement because you're supposed to do it in the dark according to the instructions, and I planted the seeds in there about the right depth, And then I sprayed a little bit of water on them every day. I'd go down there and spray a little bit of water on them every day, a little water. Nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. 20 to 25 pots of soil with seeds in them, and not one of them sprouted at all. They still may be down there to this day, for all I know, those little pots of soil with nothing growing out of them. Incredible. I'm not sure what went wrong. I'm still not sure, but I do know, however, that I was disappointed by the whole thing, and I was worried about y'all, and you know, that I gave you some impossible task, and I don't know what it was, whether it was the seed or the soil or what it was, but now that I see that some of you had success with that, obviously there may have been something wrong with my seeds, but or with me. Very sad. Very sad. I was disappointed. I didn't even get one seed to germinate, much less see a flower in the end. And I wonder sometimes if when God scatters the seed of His Word throughout the world, if He's just as disappointed as I was walking downstairs and looking at all of those flower pots with no activity in them. I mean, I wonder if when He scatters the seed all over the world, if He has this sense of anticipation that this is my Word, it's active, it's powerful, there's going to be some amazing things that are going to occur in the lives of people who receive this Word, and He waits, and He waits, and He waits, and He waits. And I wonder if He's saddened by all of the inactivity. I wonder if God's disappointed when He sees our lives just staying the same, even though the Word is being given to us time and time and time again. He plants and He plants and He plants and He plants. But where is the harvest? There are four observations I'd like for us to consider from this story. Four observations. The first one is that the sower sows for a harvest. That's the reason people plant seeds. The reason anyone plants a seed is because they have in mind that something is going to grow and then there's going to be some sort of production from that. Why else would you plant seeds? Nobody goes through the trouble of sowing seed expecting nothing to happen. That's not fun. I don't, you know, water plants hoping that they'll die. That's not the point of it. And until I gave up on those seeds that were in my basement, I checked on them, I sprayed them with water almost every day. I fully expected that something was going to happen down there. But over time, I eventually just gave up. And in the story, the expectation of the one scattering the seed is that there is going to be a great harvest. That's the point. Why scatter seed if there's not going to be a harvest? So God doesn't throw His Word out there for no reason. God hasn't revealed Himself through this world and through His Word for no reason at all. He desires a harvest. He fully expects that we're going to receive all of this information about Him, whether it's through reading His Word or whether it's through living in the world that He's created. He wants us to receive all of this information about Him, and it's His desire that our life will change and that there will be a harvest. The Word will produce some fruit in your life. And I'm sure that God is pleased that we are listening to His Word, that we're hearing His Word throughout this season of Lent. But what God has in mind is this, that it's planted and that there is a harvest of fruit that takes place in your life as a result of that listening. Observation number two is the seed falls everywhere. I mean, think about this for a minute. This sower doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What kind of a sower throws seed just indiscriminately all over the place on all types of soil? You would think that if you were a wise sower, that you would look for only the fertile soil and sow it there. That you would prepare the soil perfectly and then you would plant it there. But in this parable, this story that Jesus tells, this sower is just scattering the seed everywhere. It's falling on all sorts of different types of soil. And that's the point, because that's what God does. God plants His Word everywhere. The Word of God is for everyone. And He doesn't just give His Word to those that He thinks are going to respond to it. He gives it to everyone. Not just where He thinks it's going to grow. To everyone. And His voice is scattered throughout the entire earth, throughout His creation, throughout His written revelation. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. night after night, they display knowledge that all around us we see God's voice. He's speaking to us through what He has created. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. It's heard everywhere. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Romans chapter 1 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." We're all without excuse because we've seen the glory of God, the handiwork of God, His creation. We know about God from just seeing that. But think about how even more privileged we are as His people to have His written revelation, His Word, to be able to understand it and study it and to hear it time and time and time again. God scatters His seed everywhere for anyone to hear. God doesn't hide Himself or His Word from anyone, but He liberally scatters it around so everyone can hear. Observation number 3, the seed always has potential. See, there's nothing wrong with the seed at all. The seed is perfect. In the story that Jesus told, the problem is not with the seed. The seed is just as powerful whether it grows and produces a 100-fold fruit that's spoken of in the story or whether it lies dormant on a hard path. You know, one acorn might fall from an oak tree and land in soil and begin to grow and become another mighty oak tree. But out of that same oak tree, maybe an acorn will fall and land on the asphalt roadway and then get run over by a vehicle and nothing will happen. Those acorns have the same potential in them. One of them's not better than the other. It's just where they landed. The Word of God is scattered into our lives and that seed always has potential. Don't blame it on the Word. Don't blame it on the seed. And likewise, there is no problem with the Word of God. So if you're not experiencing growth as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't blame it on God's Word. You can't blame it on His revelation of Himself because it's perfect. It's powerful. It has potential. Observation number 4, the only variable in the story really is the soil. That's the only thing that's different. It's the same sower, it's the same seed. He's scattering it all around. The only thing that's different is the soil that it lands in. It's the only variable. In Jesus' story, that is the only difference. So if we're going to examine anything in the story, it's not the efficiency of the sower. It's not the weather conditions. It's not the quality of the seeds. If we're going to examine anything in the story, it's going to have to be the soil. And it just so happens that the soil, according to Jesus, represents the listener. The listener of the Word. The 4 types of soil represent 4 types of listeners. 4 ways that people receive the Word of God. First type of listener is a hardened listener. Look what it says in verse 15. Jesus writes, "Some people are like seed along the path where the Word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the Word that was sown in them." So some people upon whom the Word of God falls have already made up their mind. They're already hardened against it. The roots don't have a chance to grow. The seed doesn't become implanted. You know, when I was first discovered the internet for myself, I used to belong to some forums. You know, that's what the internet was early on. There weren't any pictures even on the internet. It was just words. And you'd go on there and just kind of talk to other people. And that's what it was. I belonged to a bulletin board and I'd dial in and, you know, make all these incredible noises over the phone lines, and then you just type in and talk to people about things. And it wasn't even like live chat. I mean, you'd write, and then you'd wait a few days, and they might write back. And that's what it was like. And I belonged to these forums, and there were forums about anything you could imagine. There were recipe forums. There were forums about science. But I was a seminary student at the time, so I figured I'm going to join some Bible forums and just talk to people about theology and the Bible and see how that goes. But soon I realized that there were people in these forums who were not there to be edified. That wasn't their reason for being there. They were, you know, they came to be known as trolls. And what their job was in the forum was just to come and to disturb things and to shake people up and to make you angry and to get you so absorbed with trying to argue with them. So their whole reason for being there was just to start arguments. over little details in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that a rabbit chews its cud. Scientifically, we know that the actual fact is that rabbits do not chew cud as cows chew cud. How can you explain this discrepancy within the Word of God? And then you'd say, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? The Word of God says that the sun rises in the morning. We know from scientific evidence that the actual earth is rotating. The sun is not rising. The world is rotating. So God apparently doesn't know science. How do you argue with something like that? Well, I tried. I had some fun. You know, you're writing to real people who believe the sun rises. You're not going to give them a science lesson first to explain how it works. You're just going to write in there from their perspective. In fact, God used authors in their time and day with their understanding to write the Word. But he didn't understand that, and he didn't care about that. All he wanted to do was make trouble. Well, he would talk about the genealogies in the Bible and how they, you know, they're not the same, this genealogy and that genealogy. They're not the same, and they don't have the same number of years between them as there should be, and there's stuff missing. And you know, you try to explain to him that, okay, the writer of the gospel was trying to make a point about and trying to make this thing even out, and he wasn't trying to be accurate, precisely accurate here. He was trying to make a point. And again, they just don't get that. And it became clear to me after a while that trying to deal with the trolls was a waste of time. They were hardened ground. They weren't there to listen and to receive the Word of God. They were there to make fun of the Word of God. So I started to ignore them and have discussions with people who wanted to talk about growth. And I sometimes wonder how much of the seed of the Word of God does fall on hardened soil. People who just don't care. And there are many reasons that people are hardened to the Word of God. They have heard it all before. Their lifestyle is sinful and so appealing to them that they refuse to allow the Word to challenge them because they're afraid that it might make them change. You get the picture. They've devoted their life perhaps to not being hurt again because they were hurt sometime in their life by someone who proclaimed the Word of God. And so they said, I'm not going to listen to it anymore and I'm not going to be hurt again. Many reasons that people are hardened to the Word of God. And they, Satan loves to see that because he loves to see those seeds as they're scattered just bounce off the hardened ground so the bird can come and just pick it away and it has no place in people's life. Second type of listener is the rootless listener that Jesus talks about starting in verse 16. He says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So sometimes the word falls on rocky hearts. The listener has every intention in hearing of allowing the word to change them. That's why they're listening. And perhaps they're caught off guard when they hear the Word of God. And maybe it's for the first time. But maybe they're the type of people that get excited and they come forward at the end of a service and they say, this is incredible. This could be life-changing for me. And so they hear the Word of God. There's a glimmer in their eye. And in that moment, they make a decision that this matters to them and that they need to change their lives, because they've been genuinely touched by the power and the potential of the Word of God in them. And something happens there. But then they return home. And then they return to work. And they return to life with all of its challenges, all of its disappointments and its temptations and difficult situations. And the Word, which almost had a chance in their life for a fleeting moment, it's gone. It's lost. The roots didn't grow. Nothing really changed in the end. The third type of listener is the distracted listener. Because Jesus said that the word also falls on thorny hearts. Look at verse 18. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you remember from the beginning of that story, Jesus talked about this plant that grew up with the other plants, and it probably looked like the other plants, and there was a lot of hope there, but it never generated any fruit. This listener hears the word, understands it, processes it, begins to maybe put it into motion in their life. You see some change for a season. It looks like the harvest is going to be brilliant in their life, and they get involved in serving God. Their behavior begins to change. They're on fire for the Lord. But then come the thorns of life. Jesus points out to these thorns as worries and deceitfulness of wealth, a desire for other things. These thorns, they just choke out the growth that was taking place there so that there is no harvest. The fruit is never fully developed. And as followers of Jesus, there's one thing that we need to accept and embrace early on as we follow Jesus, and that is we are not first and foremost citizens of this world. We are first and foremost citizens of heaven. And so as we attempt to follow God in this world, as we attempt to follow Him, we will at times see where the changes that God encourages in us run in the face of what's popular to the world. You ever realize that before? That if you start to change the way that the Word of God tells you to change, that you're going to become very unpopular in your circle of friends and culture and the places where you work. And the opposite is true also. If you're going to be a faithful listener to God, you're going to be required to set aside and de-emphasize some of the things that the world considers so wonderful and popular and incredible. And you're going to have to set those things aside and de-emphasize them in your life in order to emphasize what God would have you to emphasize. And if we're not willing to do that, then the thorns come into our lives and they choke out the word and the fruit does not produce as it should. Matthew chapter 6 says, no one can serve two masters. Jesus said, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Jesus said later in that same chapter, so do not worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Those are the things that the pagans run after. Those are the things that unbelievers who are not following Jesus, those are the things that they're concerned about. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, in life, there is one plot, and that plot is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how am I going to follow God and grow for Him and represent Him and change and be transformed in my life and serve Him? How is my life going to be used by God? That's the one plot. He's taken you and He's saved you and now He wants to use you. That's the story. But there are all these other subplots that are going on in life, things that have to do with money and houses and land and our jobs and all these other things that we have to be concerned about. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? So many subplots. Not that these things aren't important. You know, it says that our Father knows that we need them. The problem is when we make the subplot the plot and forget about the plot. So now we're so worried about what we're going to eat that we're not concerned anymore about growing as a believer and representing God and serving Him. So keep the plot, and the subplot, and hopefully things will work out the way they should. This is the problem with the distracted listener. There are plenty of distractions in life, plenty of things that you can get caught up in, and they can easily come between you and your obedience to God. Remember high school? Some of you are in high school. You remember it all too dearly. Some of you are not there yet. Someday maybe you'll remember it. But you were there to be educated, right? That was the point. You got up in the morning, you went to school, you were there to be educated. You were learning stuff, hopefully. That was your job when you were in high school. That's the goal. But along come so many other distractions, the subplots. See what I'm talking about? There are friends. There are sports. There's the band. There's clubs. There's the need to fit in. There's the desire to be popular. There's the opposite sex and the dating. And now you can add to that in our day the text messaging and the social networking on the computer. And all of that, it's incredible that we learn anything in high school with all of those distractions. I mean, how can social studies and history compete with getting your driver's license, you know, and having freedom to drive? High school is a microcosm of life, if you think about it. When the Word of God falls on your ear, it's your responsibility to allow it to sink into the recesses of your heart and then to allow it to take root and to work there, to germinate, to experience growth and eventually fruit. But there are plenty of distractions along the way. They do not have to interrupt what God has in mind for you. They do not have to interrupt what God has in mind for you. But for the thorny listener, the distractions are too much. They experience some growth, but at harvest time, the fruit is lacking. And so finally, we come to the fruitful listeners. Found in verse 20, where Jesus said, "Others like seed sown on good soil, well, they hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." What the sower has in mind when he sows the seed is that harvest, is this great multiplication of what was placed into our lives. Here is the ultimate. The Word of God enters your world, either through your ear or through your eye, or if you read Braille, maybe through your fingers. The Word of God enters your world and your life. It finds its way to the soil inside of you. You hear it. You understand it. You consider it. Maybe you meditate on it, and then you make a decision about it. And then the miracle of the Word takes place. The miracle of the Word, you act on it. And now suddenly what was once words on a piece of paper, or suddenly what was just MP3 files on, you know, a hard drive somewhere, or now suddenly what was just the Word of God on your iPod, whatever it is, your iPhone, maybe you have it there, whatever it is, suddenly that Word enters you and comes alive, and it transforms you, and it changes who you are, and you act differently, and people notice, and there's fruit. That's what God has in mind when He delivers His Word. The potential of the seed, along with the scattering that the sower does in our lives, the soft landing in your fertile heart has caused the Word to grow. Look at 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read these words, "All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching and for rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That this is what the Word of God is all about. It comes from God, and it is useful in our lives for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. These are all processes that take place in our lives that emerge into action, that change us and transform us and correct us and challenge us. It challenges the way we think. It challenges the way we act. And the Word of God eats away at us. And eventually, it comes out in our life, in the way that we live. So all of this takes place in the life that is open to hear and to respond. Not enough just to hear. Now, how do we know that the Word of God has been effective in your life? How do you know that? Because you know all of the stories from the Old Testament. You can recite all those stories from the Old Testament. Because you can quote some of the words that Jesus said and you have them memorized. Because you always win games of Bible trivia. Does that mean that you've heard the Word of God? Because you can correctly pronounce the name Mephibosheth. Everybody say that. Mephibosheth. Yeah, you can pronounce that. Does that mean that you've heard the Word of God and it's been effective in your life? Because you have Bibles in every room of your house, one in your pocket, one in your car, one on your iPhone, one on your BlackBerry, and you can read it everywhere you go. Is that what makes the Word of God effective in your life? I'm not saying these things are bad. These things can help. I'm glad you can pronounce Mephibosheth, okay? I'm glad that you've got the Bible everywhere you go. That's great. But those are not signs that God's Word has been effective in your life. The sign is the fruit. Just like a seed has not been effective in soil until it grows and produces the fruit it was intended to produce. You know, when you buy the packet of seeds and you look at the flower on the front of it, that's what you're after. And until you have that actual flower there, that seed hasn't really been effective in the whole process of growing in the soil. How is your life different because of God's Word? When God looks at the seed packet that He planted in your life, when He looks at who He wanted you to be and what He wants you to do and how He wants your life to be transformed, are you anywhere near the picture that He sees and that He wants? Are you serving Him more because you listen to the Word more? Are you setting aside temptations that used to have a hold on you? Is there fruit Is there progress? Is there growth? Is there transformation? Are you sharing your faith with others? Where is the fruit? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. And Father, how I praise you and thank you for the way that the word is working in the lives of the people that I have just spoken to here in this room. Father, I, with my very eyes, have seen lives transformed. I've seen people who have changed. I've seen people who have struggled through some very difficult things in their life, but have come out stronger because they had you and your word along the journey. Father, I've seen some who have taken small concepts from the Word of God that they've learned in Bible study and applied them to their lives so that they're just different people. Lord, help us all to hear, to really hear. We pray that the seed of your Word would fall on fertile ground in our lives. And Father, that there would be fruit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.